Good morning, Crosspoint family. Welcome to Crosspoint Christian Church. We're so glad you're here. What a beautiful song. Appreciate our worship team for leading us. I could hear you a little bit more. That's always a blessing. And we're working on being more expressive in our worship and showing. I know we're all different and we have different backgrounds. I certainly come from a very traditional background in our singing and our worship. And so we're just thinking that it'll be a good thing to shout for the Lord and to get us excited for Him and what He's done for us, as at least as excited as you get when your favorite team wins. I see you. Or when you see your bank account and you get that automatic. I don't know what drives you and gets you excited. But this last song, let me mention something really quick that I was going to mention later. But since we just sang How He Loves Us, what a beautiful thing, what a beautiful concept. We actually don't know just how much He loves us, but the more you grow in your faith and the more you understand the scriptures, you realize it is extremely evident that God's love for you is more than you've ever imagined. And after 32 years of following the Lord, I can say that at this point in my life, I am convinced more than ever that God loves me more than what I understood the last 32 years. And I think that's just a matter of progression. And it's not that God's love has changed, by the way. It's that my understanding of Him and His love has matured. And that's the experience that we should all have. Yesterday, the men got a chance to go to a KMG event. There were about 40 of us that were there from Crosspoint and guests of ours. Got a chance to hear Daryl Strawberry and Jack Graham, and Pastor Mike Johnson said something that was super interesting that I've actually mentioned to you because I heard it from Jeff Vines, another very popular and good teacher of the word, a pastor. And Pastor Mike Johnson said, whom we hope to have here as a guest speaker soon, he was inviting himself, so we definitely want to have him over. Great guy, brother in Christ. But he was actually pastoring a church and teaching the Word of God and telling people how God loves them, and he didn't realize that he didn't believe it. It's the second person that I've heard mention something similar. And the reason why I bring it up is that we're singing about God's love and how He loves us, and I can't help but think and assume that maybe even some of us here this morning aren't really buying it. And maybe we think, I'm here, right? So I must believe something, and I praise God that you're here. But do you believe that God loves you with an unconditional, eternal, sacrificial type of love? And that when Jesus, God in the flesh, hung on that cross, He did it for you. Not for the pastor only or for my brothers at church, but you. Are you convinced that God's love is yours to possess? Not because we're worthy, because His love is just amazing. And I love that. I want us to think about that. When we sing songs like this, really reflect. Do I believe that God loves me? And what are the implications of that? And I'm really glad that you're here, because how do we know how God loves us if not by hearing and studying the Word of God? That's what we want to do this morning. So we're really glad that you're here. If you're here for the first time or you haven't taken the time to fill out one of our contact forms, we would love to have that info of yours so that we could just stay in contact, so you would receive our weekly newsletter, so that we can send out a text or an email every once in a while and see how you're doing and see how we can help you and be of service to you and your family. So that goes for everybody. If you don't receive our contact or our messages now, our newsletters, very insightful. I'll mention now that, maybe I'll mention it later too, before I forget, that we have a new offering box system. I don't know what the numbers are, but I think a lot of you, are giving your donations or your tithes through our app, and that's a very secure way of doing it. But some of you prefer to drop in your or drop off your offering. And we have an offering box. We had a wooden one that would sit on top of a table. We thought, you know what, one of these days, one of our young people are going to run off with it. And I'm just kidding. It's going to be one of our older people. And so now we have, as you exit these double doors to your left, right next to that monitor, that TV, there's a box mounted onto the wall. And that's for you if you wish to drop off your offering. I'm looking forward to talk a little bit about money and offering, something that I don't know that I've ever taught almost a year now into me being the senior pastor here at Crosspoint. We're grateful for your offerings. We see how God is moving through you as you bless this ministry so that we can bless others in return. So you never really, you're not giving to us, it's like you're giving through us. That's really the way to look at it. But we're able to do what we do because in part of everyone's offerings. And so we're appreciative of that. So just keep in mind our new system there. So I mentioned about KMG, and I was just going to say, you know, if your husband went to the KMG or maybe one of your sons went to the KMG, then right now would be a great way to ask for stuff. Like, honey, you know that list that I gave you last summer? I'm just throwing that out there to you. You know, they're more likely to say yes right now because they're on fire. We came back. We got scolded. We were encouraged. You know, it's all about stepping up as men into the role that God has assigned for us. And I think as we do that, we're going to see stronger families, stronger marriages, stronger parenting, and stronger communities, which I'm also excited to share with you, but I'm not going to do that right now. Just some of the ideas that we have to impact the Whittier community and surrounding communities as well. We're excited. Let's go ahead and take communion. I'll just quickly mention, as you were coming in, you may have seen a small sign that said that we're dedicating a couple of babies today. And I just want to mention to you, it's during the Spanish service, but I know we didn't meet for a while because of COVID and things were just different. And I know we have babies. You know, one of the things that we're really blessed is that we have a good range of age groups in our church. We have little ones to older ones and everything in between. And I think that's a good sign of a healthy church. And we're grateful for that. But if you know, we're dedicating two babies today. For some of you, that might be a new concept. And so if you want to stick around and see what that looks like, you're welcome to do so. I just wanted to let you know. And it's Caleb Carrillo and Noah Martinez. So two families that we know very well. Moms are sisters, as a matter of fact. All right. Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And I want to do that just to in preparation for us taking communion here together. Revelation 1, 5. Listen to this. Revelation 1, 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And then, I mean, the whole section is obviously great, lifting up our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to make emphasis on this part. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ as being exalted, being put in his rightful place here through John and as best as he can through words. But then the description about him is, not only is he the king, the ruler over the kings of the earth, the faithful witness, the firstborn of all from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, but then he says, to him who loved us. I mean, it's pretty special when somebody expresses their love to you, right? Especially if it's somebody, how shall I say, important. I don't know how you define important in your life, but, you know, if somebody famous or popular or whatever, somebody that would be important in your eyes, takes the time to show affection or love to you, that's a pretty neat thing. And here, John tells us, hey, by the way, the one that loved you and washed us from our sins in his own blood is, in fact, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he says he washed us from our sins in his own blood. I mean, if you can try to imagine that. And that's actually what happened at the cross. As Jesus was shedding his blood and allowing for his life to be offered as a sacrifice unto the Father on our behalf, his blood, where the life is in the blood, and as his blood was being shed, it was to wash away our sins. And that's what the juice, this cup represents. It reminds us of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's so important about that blood? It was a perfect blood of the spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And John here explains to us briefly, because it's a known fact, that through his blood, our sins are washed away. And so, as you peel back the first layer, you take the bread, and obviously that blood which contains his life was veiled in his flesh, represented here by this bread. Let's take that together. And this juice, which represents and reminds us of the fact that Jesus the Christ washed us from our sins in his own blood. Let's take that together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters who are here. Thank you for all of us for bringing us together in order that we would worship you, lift up your holy name, and sing songs about your love and meditate on what you did by sending your son Jesus to die in our place, and through the shedding of his blood, having our sins forgiven or washed away. Thank you. We bless you. I ask for your blessing on the service. We pray in the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We certainly don't want to forget our online brothers and sisters, so we're glad that you're joining us. I'm always pleased and encouraged to hear you as you reach out, or if I see you, that you let me know that you're watching online, or that's always great. I know we have people like Ronnie Cruz, who is over in, I always forget, either Victorville or Hesperia, and he tunes in, and there's others like them that live in a faraway land and are able to join us online. Very good. So, beloved, today I want to share with you something that has to do, of course, with what we're doing. We're reading our book, Keys to Spiritual Growth, and it's chapter 11 that you want to read for this week. I know some of you guys in your growth group are maybe behind a chapter or what have you, but for this message, which is on fellowship, it's chapter 11 on the book. And if you've kind of glanced through the book, you realize that there's only 13 chapters. So yes, trimester 2 is quickly coming to an end as we finish July. So most groups, I think, are going to finish with a couple of weeks left in July. Feel free to meet, all right? Don't feel like, oh, we don't have to meet anymore. You could certainly meet. And one of the goals of our growth group would be that even after our growth groups are done for trimester 2, that you will continue to meet and that you would make those connections and those friendships with people in the group. So there's nothing to say that, you know, in August you can't meet because Pastor Mike might come down on your meeting and break it, this unlawful assembly that you got going on. I mean, we're just trying to help you along to connect with people. And so build those relationships, make those friendships, invest in the people there. I think you'll be blessed by doing that. So we're going to talk about fellowship. The title of this morning's message is One Another Fellowship. One Another Fellowship. And obviously we're going to explain that. Based on John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. So if you have a Bible, you want to turn to that. We're going to read that together just a little bit. John 13, verses 34 and 35. And we're really just going to stick to those two verses and bring out 3 points. And those 3 points, I'm going to give them to you now in case you're taking notes. We're going to talk about the Christ, the commandment, and the consequences, keeping it simple. The Christ, the commandment, and the consequences. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning out of John 13, 34, and 35. But before we get to that, I want to share a key verse. This verse struck me from the first time I remember reading it and understanding it. Romans 12, I actually had a Sunday school teacher, Caroline Flores, who encouraged us or had us memorize all of Romans 12. And I don't remember if I got through the whole thing, but I certainly remember I got pretty far. And this verse in verse 5 was very impactful to me. So check it out, because it talks about you. So this key verse, Romans 12, 5, is going to help us set up our message. It says, Romans 12, 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Now, I don't know what goes through your mind when you read that. But every time I read that, I have this sense of responsibility. I get this sense of belonging. I get a sense of duty. And expectation to know that everybody in the body of Christ, that's every believer, everyone who's been born again belongs to the body of Christ. And then here it says that we are individually members of one another. I would highly encourage you to really think about that and meditate that after we're done today and throughout the week. What does it mean for me to belong to the body of Christ, but then individually being a member of one another? So you could say, I go to Crosspoint Christian Church, and that's a body of believers. I belong to Crosspoint Christian Church. But then this verse is telling us that not only do you belong to Crosspoint Christian Church, but you are individually a member of one another, of every person in this room and in this congregation, and in fact, in the whole body of Christ. And so if you have a believer somewhere in Africa, China, India, or Mexico, or Pico Rivera, they're your brothers. They belong to the same body, the body of Christ, and you're individually a member of one another. That's really deep stuff. And with that comes blessing and also responsibility. So keep that in mind. So we, every believer, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And so today, again, I'll mention the message title, One Another Fellowship. What is this thing about fellowship? You know, sometimes we start going to church, or maybe we grew up in church, and we speak Christianese, right? We're like I'm trilingual here. I speak Spanish, más o menos, English, and then I speak Christianese. And then we'll say things like, hey, let's have some fellowship. What? And people that aren't familiar with these terms are thinking like, what is that? It sounds cultish, you know? And we have to be careful with that. So what does it mean? I want to try to define it. Because growing up, and sometimes if we're not careful, we think that fellowship means getting together. You know, we get together maybe on Sunday night and play sports, and man, that fellowship was amazing. It was like, wow, we didn't pray, we didn't talk about Christ, we didn't really meet each other's needs. I kind of dunked on you and spiked it on you. I don't know if that qualifies as fellowship. Now, there's a lot of value to that getting together stuff, but is it biblical fellowship? And I would say, no, that's not what biblical fellowship is. So biblical fellowship, let me define it this way, and of course, it's going to be in your book, chapter 11. And I'll say again, if you don't have a book, I would highly recommend for you to read that book. And if you're not in a growth group, maybe you could grab that book and read it and have some accountability or have somebody read it with you. You know, if you want to reach out to me, say, hey, I really want to read that book, but I need somebody to encourage me, or maybe somebody that I can ask questions to until I'm ready to join a growth group, reach out to me. I would love to do that. But I'll say that chapter 11, I've found all the chapters to be not just interesting and helpful, but very important. So I'm going to say that chapter 11 is probably, to me, the most important chapter to read. So if you've fallen behind, or, you know, you haven't quite been reading it, and you've been showing up to your group and acting like you read it, chapter 11 is not a chapter you want to skip. It has some very, very important truths that I hope causes you to ask questions and really dig in deeper and in regards to your faith and your understanding of things. And we don't want anybody to feel like, oh, that's what John MacArthur said, so it's like we can't question it. We're not following John MacArthur, we're not following Mike, and we're not following anybody but Christ. And if we're using that book, it's because we feel it's helpful, and it's certainly biblical. So I don't want anybody feeling like that, like, oh, I don't really agree with that, but I don't want to say anything. I don't want to cause trouble. You're not going to cause trouble. Let's bring up our questions, our concerns, our views, and bring them back to under the subjection of Christ and his word, all right? But chapter 11, really make sure you read that chapter. Main point this morning, our main point, people will identify us by our love for one another, and God will be glorified. Another super interesting portion, but the Lord says, as you love one another as I've loved you, everyone will know that you are my disciples. And as people know that we are Christ's disciples, he is glorified. And a lot of great things happen when that occurs. So that's why we need to be very interested in one another type fellowship. So I told you what, I don't think I've actually defined biblical fellowship, have I? So I'll say this, biblical fellowship occurs when Christians express love for one another by caring for one another and meeting each other's needs. I'll say that again. Biblical fellowship happens when Christians demonstrate their love for one another by caring for one another and meeting each other's needs. Very interesting. So that's why getting together and having punch and cookies, though great and needed, doesn't quite measure up to biblical fellowship. How are we meeting each other's needs? How are we caring for one another? Because we are the body of Christ. And as long as we're in this fallen world, we're all going to have needs, troubles, tribulations, for which we need each other, just as every part of your body needs every other part of your body. We have to be convinced of that. See, if we understand that, nobody's going to feel like, oh, I could just show up to church and just kind of mind my own business. You don't have your own business. All your business belongs to God, and somehow the way he's managed to make things happen is that your business affects my business. There's no more, I'll just live the Christian life on my own. I love Christ, but I don't like the people at church type of mentality. Something very wrong with that. And I would say that all of us have at least a little bit of that in us. Ooh, you thought we were just talking about certain people. I think we're talking about all of us. And that's okay if we're willing to make things better and progress and grow and be better disciples of Christ. So biblical fellowship occurs when Christians express their love for one another by caring for one another and meeting each other's needs. And that's just not monetary needs or financial needs. That's talking about emotional needs, psychological, relational needs, all kinds of spiritual needs. We are very complex individuals. And sometimes we get to the point where we think like, well, I don't need anything, and I certainly don't need anyone. Oh boy. There's some hurt there that needs to be addressed, most likely. So let's address it. Let's get to it. And so that we can live out the life that God wants for us. So here's a couple of questions just to get those juices going. I would ask you, who do you care for? Who do you care for? Really think about it. And these answers probably shoot in your brain right away, right? Like, who do you care for? What needs have you met for someone else? Parentheses, outside of your immediate family and relatives or super buddies. What needs are you currently meeting for someone else in and outside the church? I would say that most of us to some degree would say like, who's got time for that? I got so many issues on my own that I got to deal with. I don't have time to go getting involved in other people's business. That's time consuming and draining. And then what if they ask for money? Scary, huh? Who do you care for? What needs have you met for someone else lately outside of your immediate family, relatives? What needs are you currently meeting for someone else in and outside the church? And I would say that as we think about that, and I hope all of us could answer something there, but the growth groups are a really good place to start. This is not just an infomercial for growth groups again, but it's a really great place to start. And I'm going to be asking my growth group on Tuesday the following question. You guys can borrow my question for, you know, growth group leaders, or have something similar, or but really think about this. If I was to ask you, you know, give you a sheet of paper and said, write down all of your needs that other people in the church can meet. So let's say 150 of us, which is about the average that we have in our congregation coming on Sunday. If 150 of us got together and we said, we're here to meet your needs and care for you, tell us what those needs are. How would you feel about making that list? Would it be easy for you? To be honest with you, I find it difficult. That's why we're going to do this exercise on Tuesday, Lord willing. Because something inside of us, for many of us, we have learned to become kind of self-reliant or just tough. And if something does happen, well, too bad, and I just keep going. I don't dwell on it, and I don't address it. And then we kind of grow up these kind of dysfunctional individuals that carry around burdens that we're not supposed to be carrying and hurts that never get addressed. And you know, Pastor Bruce used to say, hurt people hurt people. And there's a lot of hurting going around, even amongst Christians and from Christians to other people. So really think about that. Let's get to our reading here in John 13, verses 34 and 35. The context, and I know I just, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned a little bit of this, but the context in chapter 13 of John, really about half of the gospel according to John, or let's say more than a third, so let's say about half of the gospel of John really has to do with the last week of the Lord Jesus Christ's life. And in chapter 13, it's close to the Lord's physical life here on earth. It's close to the end, and as he's having that last supper, he gets up, gets ready, and he washes his disciples' feet, if you remember that, taking the lowest position that a servant can take. And he does it as an example for his disciples. He says, you know what I've just done? You need to do also. It's an example unto you. One of the last lessons, if not the last lesson, that our Lord Jesus Christ made or gave his disciples. That's the context in which he then, our Lord Jesus Christ, tells his disciples. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this we all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Amazing words. Love for one another. And he says it's a commandment, this new commandment I give you. And in scripture we read that if we were to love God with everything and love one another, the whole entire law would be taken care of. You wouldn't have to worry about all the other laws if you just loved God and loved your neighbor. So here's what we want to do. We're going to take those two verses, kind of break it down a little bit. And I'm really going to spend time in the second point, which is the commandment to love one another, because I want to share with you, since the title says one another fellowship, I want to share with you what the word says about one another. There are a lot of one another statements in the Bible, and I want to share many of those with you. All right? So point number one out of John 13, 34, and 35 is this, talking about the Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the one giving the commandment. And I think that's important. It's a commandment, but, you know, if you have a sibling, for example, and your sibling gives you a commandment, how do you feel about that? Are you inclined to obey? Or are you inclined to say, like, well, who do you think you are? Why should I do what you told me? We all have that in us, right? Like, who? What's your authority over me? And that's kind of the point that I wanted to make here. As you read this commandment, before you even get to the commandment, you need to understand who's the one commanding, and that is the Christ, Jesus the Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of Kings, the Creator of all things, the eternal God, the one that formed you in your mother's womb, who knew you before he even did that. He's the one that died for you on the cross. He's the one that's telling us, love one another as I have loved you. And I think that's important. Who was the commandment giver? And that is the Christ. And part of our Christian walk and our discipleship is understanding who God is. And so that when we are commanded to love one another, we take it serious because it is the Christ who made that commandment. And he is our perfect example of sacrificial service as well. And so we're able to not just see his authority, but also take in his example. He doesn't just tell us to do something that he's not willing to do. He's saying, because I've done that and I've given you an example, now you go and do it. It's amazing. So the Christ, understanding who is the one giving us the commandment. And if really, if you take care of that portion and we learn to revere, adore, respect, and fear the command giver, a lot of things will be a lot easier. If we're still thinking like, Jesus did say that, but he also loves me, and so I'm sure there's some wiggle room in there somewhere. If that's our attitude, then we're always going to be kind of wishy-washy, ineffective, I believe, in our Christian walk. I'll leave point number one at that, the Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one giving the commandment. Keep that in mind. So let's look at point number two. We want to spend most time here. The commandment, the actual commandment is to love one another. To love one another. As he has loved us. So if you read the Bible, especially the New Testament, you'll see that there's a lot of one another passages. So I want to take literally several minutes just sharing some of these with you. So just listen. This is what God, through his word, tells you how you're supposed to relate to one another, because we're all part of the body and individually members of one another. And of course, I mean, imagine if your hand only responded to certain parts of your body, or if your leg decided to obey only whenever it wanted, versus it obeys the head, which is for us as Christians, is Christ. What I mean is, when your body functions right, your head directs every aspect of your body, and your body parts don't get to decide when they want to obey or not. And I say that because as Christians, we need to understand that we're part of that body. And every part of that body is just as important. And we've all been called, and it's through the Holy Spirit that assigns us or gives us the assignment of where we belong in that body. Are we an ear? Are we a nose? Are we a finger? Are we what? He places us in the body. And then we're there in the body to bless everybody else. We're not in the body just for ourselves, or to say, you know what, I'm only going to get the pinky finger doesn't get to say, like, I'm only going to get along with the ring finger, and, you know, I don't care too much about the thumb. And, like, how ridiculous would that be, right? So we don't want to be ridiculous in looking at who we're going to get along with, or who we're going to care for, or who we're going to get to love, and who we're going to discriminate against. None of that. So one another passages in Scripture. Listen to this. Love one another. And I believe love one another will be like the umbrella under where every other one another passage kind of fits or lives under. Love one another. And it says that in several places in Scripture. Serve one another. I have the portions here, but I'm not going to tell you where they're at. I mean, serve one another. Galatians 5, I guess I am going to tell you. Galatians 5. Accept one another. Romans 15. Strengthen one another, Romans 14. Help one another, Hebrews 3. Encourage one another, Romans 14 and other places. Care for one another, Galatians 6. Forgive one another, Ephesians and Colossians. Commit to one another, 1 John 3:16. Build trust with one another, 1 John 1:7. Be devoted to one another, Romans 12:10. Be patient with one another, Ephesians 4:2. Be interested in one another, Philippians 2:4. Be accountable to one another, Ephesians 5:21. Confess to one another, James 5:16. Live in harmony with one another, Romans 12:16. Do not be conceited toward one another, Romans 13:8. Do not pass judgment to one another, Romans 14:13. Do not slander one another, James 4:11. Instruct one another, Romans 16:16. Greet one another, Romans 16:16 as well, and 1 Corinthians 1:10. Admonish one another in Romans 5:14. Spur one another unto love and good deeds, Hebrews 10:24. Meet with one another, Hebrews 10:25. Agree with one another, 1 Corinthians 16:20. Be concerned for one another, Hebrews 10:24. Be humble towards one another in love, Ephesians 4:2. Be compassionate towards one another, Ephesians 4:32. Do not be consumed by one another, Galatians 5:14. Do not anger one another, Galatians 5:26. Do not lie to one another, Colossians 3:9. Do not grumble toward one another, James 5:9. Give preference to one another, Romans 12:10. Be at peace with one another, Romans 12:18. Sing to one another, Ephesians 5:19. Be of the same mind towards one another, Romans 12:16. Comfort one another, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Be kind to one another, Ephesians 4:32. Live in peace with one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Carry one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. And there's a ton more. And a lot of these have multiple places where they're found. One another. So what happens with the person that says, oh, I'm a Christian, and I'm a follower of Christ, but I don't go to church? It's really between me and God. As long as my relationship with God is good, I don't need fellowship. You're deceived. But we're also deceived over thinking like, well, I can go to church and just kind of mind my own business, sit in the back or in the front. You can sit in right in the middle in the front and still be, you know, kind of hiding from God. Doesn't matter where you sit. And think, I'll go check off that box and then, you know, just kind of mind my own business. Let them mind their own business. Everybody stays in their lane and everything's going to be all right. Nah. No, you're deceived. Or you're immature. Or maybe you're new in the faith. Okay, that's best case scenario. You're new in the faith, you don't know. But now you do. There's these expectations. There's these commandments. What does it mean to love one another? As I have loved you, Christ said, our Lord. It means all of that and more. So then the question comes, when I asked you earlier, who do you care for? Whose needs are you meeting? How are you exercising obedience towards God's command? And can I say that we have to realize that in generality here, speaking in generalities here, we live in a very selfish and egotistic culture. In general, the problem is that stuff comes into the church, and then the church is the same way as a culture. And beloved, we're supposed to be radically different. That's why when we're obedient to the Lord's commandments, everybody's going to know that you're a disciple of Christ, because you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. You're not going to be like everybody else. You're not just going to be looking out for yourself, because that's what everybody does. They look out for number one, themselves. But as Christians, we're not supposed to be that way. And when we are obedient to the Lord's commands and put into practice at least some of these one another commands, you're going to be different, completely different from everybody else. And that's how people are going to know that you're a disciple of Christ. Not because, you know, you have on your profile, Christian, born again, whatever. Your love for one another, the Lord said, is how everyone will know that you are his disciples. That's it. So you have to ask the question, how am I loving other people? And if you're not loving people in this church and you belong to this church, I really doubt that you're going out and loving the rest of the body of Christ. Oh, I love the body of Christ. It's just my congregation that I can't deal with. What are you talking about? And beloved, can I say, we're all dysfunctional. Please. We're all dysfunctional. We all have trouble relating with one another and meeting each other's needs and expressing our needs. Like, let's get that out of the way. We all have a bunch of needs that we can meet. But if you don't know my needs and I don't know your needs and neither one of us is interested in meeting our needs or expressing our needs, then we're going to have what we've always had. And for the most part, speaking in generality, you have churches and congregations that are really just made up of individuals acting on their own instead of acting as a body. We want Crosspoint Christian Church to be what Christ wants us to be, or to simply live out who we really are. And that is a body of believers where individually we belong to this local body, but we're individually members of one another and we've been commanded to love one another. And we do that by expressing care and meeting each other's needs. Growth groups are just our attempt to facilitate that. That's why we think it's so important. All right. We did take longer on point two. So point three, we talked about the Christ being the one that gives us the command. We talked about the commandment to love one another, and we shared all these one another portions in Scripture. And then three, the consequences, which I've already mentioned. People will know us by our love, that we are His disciples. And by doing that, we earn the right to share the gospel with them. I mean, if you try... Yeah. We got some stuff in store for all of us. Trimester three, get ready with growth groups. I can't share with you just yet, but trimester three, we really want to hit the ground running and expressing what we're talking about here, loving one another, going out and being disciples of Christ and making new disciples. But as we do that and people know that we are disciples of His, that grants you the right to share the gospel. See, if people aren't convinced that you're a disciple of Christ, they're going to say, who are you to tell me anything? But if they know that you're a disciple of Christ, then they're going to be open. So if you're thinking like, you know, my friends don't listen to me. Well, that's because they don't really believe that you're a disciple of Christ. But when they believe that you're a disciple of Christ, they're going to be attentive to you. Then you've earned the right in their mind to speak truth to them and the gospel to them. It's important. Don't worry about that. Matthew 28:20, the Great Commission is what we're all about, making disciples, becoming disciples, and making new disciples. So what do we do? What do we do? We repent, and we realize that we're at fault and not doing what we're supposed to be doing or should have been doing. And we exercise faith by committing to, as a body, commit to coming to church. Don't come once in a while. Commit. Like Sunday, I'm at church. It's the Lord's day. I want to be at church. And that's just minimal. Be at church. Engage in church. And then I would say, plug into a growth group. And then plug into a service team. We're trying to make it that simple. Those are the 3 points of our discipleship-making process here at Crosspoint. Make Sunday morning worship experience a priority in your life. Commit to growing spiritually in growth groups, and then plug in into a service team where you can impact the world with God's love. Do that as a baseline, and then see what God does with your life, and you'll be surprised. That's it. That's all I wanted to share with you. That's all I got to say about that. I feel like Forrest Gump right here. You guys if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's fine. But I was excited to share this with you, because I think it's so practical. And this could be so transforming, not just for us as individuals, but as a congregation. And all we're really saying is, let's do what God has always called us to do, and that is to be a family and be the body. Don't act like a family. We are a family, so let's learn to live out that reality. Really glad you're here this morning, and glad that you joined us online. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And we want to ask for forgiveness if we have, I know I have, failed or lacked in being obedient to your command to love one another as you, Lord Jesus, loved me and us. As a congregation, Father, we want to grow not just in numbers, but spiritually. We want to become the people that you want us to be, because we know when we do that, we will bring you honor and glory. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters. Father, help us to be committed to growing. Help us to be the church that can impact not just our congregation and our members, but our community around us and the communities around Whittier and even around the world. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are and because of your power and your purposes. We thank you. We ask that you dismiss us with your blessing. We pray in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name.